Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Words from the Word. As we enjoy the ministry of song.
Please come, please come today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome to Words from the Word. We are winding down in our study of Keith Miller's book, The Sevenfold Spirit of God. We're on chapter 15, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I thought it would be interesting to just, he uses so many scriptures throughout this chapter, very, very blessed in an abundance of the Word of God. And so I was just curious to see just how they would be listed if someone had gone and listed these blessings for those who fear the Lord. If I did look it up, so I just want to share some of them just to start us out in a mindset of understanding the importance the Bible has given this spirit of the fear of the Lord, not just importance, but the promises that it has given and the power that is behind this function of the Spirit of God. And so it starts out with, so from Deuteronomy 6 and 24, so the Lord commands us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. Very, very appropriate. Fear the Lord for your survival for the day. And how great, Psalms 31 and 19, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. So there's a stored up goodness that is waiting to be placed upon and in the life of those who fear the Lord. Psalms 67 and 4, well, Psalms 112 and 1, praise the Lord, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. And then Psalms 115 and 13, he will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. And then Proverbs 10 and 30 and 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life. The fear of the Lord prolongs life. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Powerful prayer there. Proverbs 22 and 4, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 28 and 14, how blessed is the man who fears always. Psalms 33, 18 and 19, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his loving kindness to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine. These are powerful images and covenant promises that God is making to us. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Psalms 85 and 9, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. With glory, that glory may dwell in our land. I love this one, and I love the example that the author is going to share as it relates to the scripture in the New Testament, in Acts. Also, it says in Psalms 145 and 19, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 1 and 11, O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servant who delights to revere your name and make your servant successful today, and grant him compassion before man. Now he was the cupbearer of the king. And so you see how this reverence and delighting in the Lord, how it makes your day successful. And the Lord favors those who fear him. those who wait for his loving kindness. For the fear of the Lord will cause you to wait on him and to reverence his coming, to expect it, and to have peace as it relates to it. It says Proverbs 15 and 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and turmoil with it. Luke 1 and 50, his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. So now it becomes a heritage and a legacy for us. Psalms 25 and 12, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in a way he should choose. Wonderful promise of Ecclesiastes 7 and 18. It is good that you grasp one thing, and also not let go of the other. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. Glory to God. Isaiah 33 and 6. And he will be the stability of your time, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Jesus. Psalms 103 and 11. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is the loving kindness towards those who fear him. High as the heavens are above the earth. That's how great his loving kindness. We're being exposed to this vastness of God. Psalm 60 and 4, you have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Hallelujah. So he is your banner for those who fear the Lord. Proverbs 14, 26 and 7, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Jesus. Zephaniah 3 and 7, I say, surely you will revere me, accept instruction, so her dwelling will not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed concerning her. But they were eager to corrupt all their deeds because they lacked the reverence and the fear of the Lord. Malachi 4 and 2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. There is a healing in the wings of the Son for those who fear the Lord. Revelation 11 and 18. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the great and the small. So our time is coming. Hallelujah. Psalms 34 and 9, the fear of the Lord, fear the Lord, you his saints. For to those who fear him, there is no want. Glory to God. And then Psalms 111 and 5, he has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. What a powerful grouping of scripture put together to support, encourage, and excite us about this powerful spirit of the fear of the Lord. And so the author starts with this scripture, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Stand in awe of him. And so this expression of the sevenfold spirit of God, the fear of the Lord, helps us desire to please and obey God, and I love this, in everything. Because that fear of the Lord increases our capacity to know and experience his glory. It increases our desire. This holy fear increases our motivation to obey and to worship him. When we draw close in intimacy with the Father, we also receive the ability to see things from his perception and perspective. So it becomes what's important to him starts to motivate our lives. What's important to him and the way God sees things and desires things and say about things becomes the only source of the truth because of our fear of him, which is a reverence that comes because he is such an awesome wonder. He is such an awesome wonder. I should have played that song this morning. The fear of the Lord is awe and wonder in the presence of the creator of the universe. There is a greatness about God and his creation, and it is seen in his creation. And everything about him is revealed. I love the scripture says, without words, it is revealed because it is revealed through all of his creation. I was looking at one of the channels that has the worship music, and it just has scenes of nature. And just watching the scenes go from one thing to the next to the next, it became apparent, and I'm sure all we do is letting me see how God's creation is always in movement. I don't care where in the earth there is this movement, and he is orchestrating all of it. The vastness of what he does is so beyond our thought and our thinking. You know, we there comes a time that we rest or we quiet ourselves, and there's times that we really don't do anything, we're sleeping. But the world and the universe that God created is always moving. It's like a heartbeat. It is alive because its creator is alive. It's alive with purpose and destiny, and each one has been determined for each thing individually, and then it has been knitted together to flow in a tapestry of awesome wonder. And he did this. He did this. His presence is, we become aware of it every day when we just open our eyes and we get his perspective. We get his concept, his precepts of things, and how things work together, and it causes us to bow down to a God that is so great. And then to realize that those that reverence him are like right in his hand, right in his heart. Even in the vastness of who he is, we are those that reverence him, those that fear him and worship him, are honored by him to get his attention with all the things that God has created, all the things that are going on, all of the things that he's orchestrated. He has promised to give us his special attention. This reverence fear, it brings love, it brings trust, thankfulness, honor, and worship. That is the result of this fear. It brings that out of our lives because it is bowing to the greatness and the holiness of God. And the Bible tells us that his love, his goodness, and his forgiveness should inspire awe and worship in our hearts. Our hearts become enthralled with him, in love with him, in the fear and reverence for him. And as each moment of intimacy brings us into his presence, an even deeper sense of an understanding of who he is and what all he does. And that this word, that for this spirit of the fear of the Lord, it's like there's no words to fully describe what our response needs to be to God. Just because of, there's no words to fully describe who he is, because he's everything. And so as a result, and that knowledge of that spirit of the fear of the Lord should bring into our soul this surrendering desire to honor and to worship him. It's a delight. It is a delight. It is a powerful way for us to experience this love, to express our devotion, to express the fact, I love the word, we adore him, our adoration for him. The author shares when his presence comes into a room, how for him, how it just brings us to a place that it's really difficult to articulate, because there is nothing like it to describe it. And so when he showed up in this individual who had been praying and fasting to do his will, to bring his purpose to the people of this community, to change things, to bring God's power manifesting on earth so that they would see God and there fear him. It says as he raised his head, you know, his breath left him. He leaves us breathless. He takes our breath away. And he starts hyperventilating because he was dying. The glory and the holiness were more than he can handle. It is more than we can handle. It's so far beyond us. And yet, he has drawn us so that we can experience it without dying. He said immediately he bowed his head again, overcome by his presence. I was undone. That's when he wrecks us. He just wrecks every natural thing that we might think we know. And we're just wrecked in the awe of his presence. We're made a wreck. We're made to see, just, you know, the prophet says that this is with unclean lips and just so unworthy. And yet, here he is. Here he is in this close proximity to us. Surely, we are dying. Surely we cannot survive this level of holiness, of brilliance, of vastness. And so he turns to Revelation 1, 12 and 17 to describe how John felt on the Isle of Patmos when he woke up. He said, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden candles lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down through the feet and gird about the chest with a gold band. His hair and head were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at my feet and said, but he laid his hand on me and said to me, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What?
Overseer, did we lose your volume? The audio?
Amen, amen. I don't know. Okay. What happened? And the phone just did some weird stuff and just went off. but it does not diminish this image we're seeing. This image that John is portraying, he's portraying of the vision that he saw and of what the Christ looked like. This just all present, and just in his description, I was brought to mind of a lot of these superheroes and how they, you know, have all these different images that they put on these video games for the young people, and they always have this power, and they're these mighty, you know, warrior type looking, and I can't help but believe they've read some of these descriptions, that individuals have had from encounters with God, encounters with someone that is beyond the earth and the earth understanding and imagination, and just become these powerful, powerful presence. And they capitalized on it. And yet I realize that I believe the source of it is the Word of God, and it's the person of God. And the enemy always likes to counterfeit and come up with it. But even when a picture is recreated, it falls so short of the reality of the situation, of what that circumstance really was, because words can't fully convey and communicate the emotion of that encounter of the presence of God. And so this awe of and fear and reverence is what is birthed out of these encounters. And I love when he said his voice sounds like rushing water. And it's always the case visually and auditively when someone wants to communicate the power of a source of the thing, their voice changes. You know, even a parent changes their voice. And their voice becomes one of authority. And of power and of confidence, and just the sound of the rushing waters, this voice sounding like rushing waters, just so amazing, and yet so gentle, And so even when he calls us by name, and I'm pretty sure all of us at some point has heard the Lord call us by name. It's with such a loving, gentle voice, and yet it is a powerful, almighty voice. it creates worlds and it establishes relationship with us. That's a place of bow down worship. That's a place of awe and wonder. That's a place that's so unbelievable to our mind. It is just a depth of power and love and communication that exists that we don't have a point of reference for. We can't have a point of reference for. And yet when he comes, he cannot not impart some of his deep love into us as it just radiates to us and it transforms us. It changes us. It gives us, that's what melts our heart of stone and makes us have a heart of flesh. This deep passion that he just emulates just from his presence of how much he so deeply loves us and desires for us to have this relationship with us, no matter how powerful and almighty and majestic and timeless he is. He desires us. And as we read those 31 promises of those that fear him, it is a place that gives us special seating at the table, if you will, special blessings. And one of the things that the author shared during this experience was how had that sense of, and I love that sense of, all of his senses agreed that what he was experiencing was beyond the natural, and it was supernatural. And it makes us weep. It makes us humble. It makes us grateful that this relationship is one of love, and so grateful it is not one of judgment. As the one of the scriptures says, because we fear him, our judgment is different. And we thank God for that. Godly fear and deep love. The realm of these encounters and visitations of God takes us to a whole new level of understanding the spirit realm, understanding God's plan for us, understanding the kingdom of God. Because until we are exposed to or in the presence of God, we will never understand what the kingdom of God is like. That's why Christ always says, I do what I see my Father do. I say what I've heard my Father say. Because apart from him, there's no kingdom to even communicate to people. So it is something that we must humbly receive of his presence when he brings us near to him. And it teaches us wisdom and humility. And as scripture says, and that comes before honor. We don't realize how much he honors us until we understand how humble and how grateful we should be because we have this relationship with him. And this fear, this reverent awe, this reverent respect, this adoration, a place of adoration where we fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the place that brings power to our will to obey him. It's that fear of the Lord, the realm that God loves us to move in. There's such a realm of love that it brings forth obedience. And then our faith is expanded in reality and knowledge of the vastness of his love towards us. We had looked at that scripture, the depth, the height, and the width, and it's like if we're trying to measure, we would measure the width and we'd end up with the length because the measurement would never stop. It's just so beyond our understanding, and it is only as the Holy Spirit gives us this revelation, gives us this perspective, this God's eye view, gives us this position, the flow of what the will of God is, that this vastness of his love starts to develop in our mind and in our understanding and in our spirit, and it takes it over. It takes it over so that all we do out of this love, this perfect, perfecting love that Christ has for the church and God has for us. And out of this love comes a holy fear. It grows and it increases in us as we go more deeply into or more closely into intimacy with God, desiring the things of God, delighting in the things of God because of who he is, because of who he is. It says the Almighty, the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread, because the vastness and the love of God also brings to our understanding from his perspective what must happen to those that do not honor him, those that do not revere and fear him, and because they will do what's right in their own sight, and because of the holiness and the nature of God, that will never stand forever, that has to be judged, that will be judged. And so this deep intimacy that we are experiencing, we must then relinquish ourselves so that we can allow it to flow through us into the world around us. And this happens in the city. In Acts, this is, can a city be saved in a day? Yes. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts every man from every nation who fear him and do what is right. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. God is not going to. And those that do not bow down, well, they will bow down. Those that do not embrace will then have to bow down. The fear of the Lord changed the whole city. It brought a revival to, I love that, a situation he described about the gentleman going into industry, a building, a business, and someone saying something to him, but then feeling that deep, vast love of God, that holy righteousness of God. The gentleman, I think Mr. Finley, allowed it to flow through him, and it flowed through him effortlessly to the point where even she didn't know what she was about, what was about to happen to her. But when that presence, we are exposed to it. It says I fell out of the chair and cried, "Oh, have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. Save us." And then it broke out all over the company, until the point the company had to shut down for 7 days. That's when we walked in the anointing
of this spirit of the fear of the Lord. We reveal him. We revere him. And we honor him. And we adore him so that wherever we go, it emulates from us this perfect love that has brought us the power to do this in his name. Perfect power to do this in his presence. Perfect power to do this wherever he sends us. This, the first step toward true wisdom and knowledge is having the fear of the Lord. Our souls are happy. When our souls are happy, we're at awe at God's majesty. Who has a vision of God's awesome greatness, his infallible holiness, his perfect righteousness, his irresistible power, and his sovereign grace? The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. So when these things are, we are exposed to them, or we are in intimate position to them, these words that are just beyond comprehension, unless we have this powerful spirit of function of the spirit of God that brings us the understanding and knowledge and wisdom and the strength for this. It says, then the church throughout of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. For a church to have peace and be edified, coming from walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church were multiplied. Oh, fear the Lord, you will say, there is no want, no lack to those in fear of. Some of the scriptures that we shared in the beginning, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and a contrite spirit, and tremble at my word. Trembling out of worship and out of humility, trembling out of revelation of how great he is and how just unbelievably unworthy we are. And yet he says we are worthy. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Like a father pitieth of that compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on them that fear him. Praise the Lord. What a place to be under the compassion of the Lord. And then the desire to please the Lord comes from the spirit of holy reverence, respect for the awesomeness and the majesty of God. It is therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and reverently and with godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And when we believe that, when we walk with that knowledge, the revelation that God is a consuming fire, there is a fear that should settle on our lust, on our desires, on our body, on our mind. A fear of worship, a fear of surrender, a fear of with the desire to please him.
Any of these impulses in this area could have caused the gas accident. Check them early tomorrow.
Okay, we have all kinds of issues today. All right. Somebody may need to put their phone on mute or something. Okay. Okay. All right. It says the fear of the Lord is a place where we must live, a place of wanting to please him above all others in our life, pleasing God and God alone. And it says not just visit that place, but live in that place,
Amen. Amen. And also, we want to understand that it's not the desire to please the Lord doesn't just come because we want to please the Lord, but it comes because we've received the revelation and knowledge of who he is and he should be. And we cannot not because we revere and we fear him. Amen. So many of the things that relate to this spirit of the fear of the Lord are things that are have been experienced. And so we want, I don't want to go too far with relate your experience. Put your phones off. Your phones are on speaker. And those things that have come to bring you to a place of the fear of the Lord. I know that there are times when we've been, we were raised and we received messages from our pastors, our parents, our caregivers, our spiritual parents of to fear God, to not play with him, to understand our place, to understand our place, and to get in it, and then to rejoice that he's made a place for us to get in and then to stay in that place. That's what humility does. It keeps us in the place. It keeps us with the knowledge of who he is and who we are and what we should be doing and where we should be, and not us trying to be him, but rather allowing him to be glorified through us. Just as the Lamb did, this is our Lord Jesus Christ, received deeper depths of the knowledge of God. He released greater depths of delight in doing the will of the Father. It's a holy fear of God that is always strong within us if we love him. The more we love him, the more he will spend, the more time we will spend with him, and the more we will know him, and the greater will be the godly fear of him in our hearts. That holy fear will guide us in paths of wisdom, protecting us from engaging and entangling ourselves in things that are displeasing to the heart of God. Scripture in Job 28:28, and he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. So not to be afraid, to not be afraid, but to fear, and not be afraid because of the position he has granted us through the promises that we read. We don't have to be afraid, but because we don't have to be afraid, then we should fear and reverence him for giving us this place, giving us this place of honor, giving us this place of no lack, to promise you have no lack, you have no need of anything. And though he is great and powerful, and just even as the physical picture that John painted of what he looked like is overwhelmingly awesome and just majestic. And to some of the things that as they describe, they're powerful, unmatched, and unfathomable things as it relates to him and his truth and who he is, and allowing us to see it and know it brings a humble, it should bring a humble surrender to our spirit and our soul. And that should flow from us. And just as in Acts, when it flows from us, the people will see how powerful God is. And because of the signs, wonders, and healings that the church was able to do, the people all around in the cities, they feared God, just like the Israelites, as they went and conquered the promised land, or marched to the promised land, and they were given victory over their enemies, the people, their enemies, came to fear the Lord God of the children of Israel, because he bad. They saw this, oh, he, you know, no matter what you do, he outdoes. No matter who you think you are, he is greater. No matter what you think you have, he has more of. And no matter how you try to do something to put forth your will, it will crumble and be destroyed and crushed, because the God of the children of Israel is the true and the living God. And so as we have looked at the spirit of the fear of the Lord, what were some of the things that were brought to your remembrance? What were some of the things that you related to in this particular chapter?
Over here.
Yes.
This is Pastor Rogers. It took me back through my experiences, as you were saying. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was young, I was looking for wisdom. And I remembered that scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I always wanted to be wise. I say, I want to be wise to help people. But then when the Lord was showing me, as you say, it seemed like everything I touched, it grew, and God blessed me. And people would hurt me. And I'm learning that. But I build up that wall. I build up the wall because I had learned in nursing 25 defense mechanisms, so I wouldn't allow people to hurt me. And I knew how much God loved me, so I didn't care about people. But they did to me, because I could forgive, and I just let them. When somebody hurt me, it didn't hurt, but it stung me, and you know, it didn't really hurt me, because I knew I could go to God. But now I'm finding out that I had to break all them walls down, but I don't want to jump. But I learned through the experience that God loved me so much that I could depend on God and nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
But then I grew to, I felt that I was entitled. So I had to go through the knowledge of learning from the Holy Spirit that I wasn't entitled to anything. So then it was like God let me fall, or he broke me, or however I could say it. But he let me go through that part of life that I wasn't entitled to anything. But then I got to know Jesus better, because he let me know what his son had went through. I remember one time it felt like I had a hole in my heart, and I was asking God, why was it that I had that hole in my heart? And he was saying, because when Mary, the mother of Jesus' son, died on Calvary's cross, she had a hole in her heart. He had a hole in his heart. So why didn't I think I should have a hole in my heart? And I was learning more and more about how much God loved me. And then, and this is where I'm learning even more, that we go through these experiences so we know when God says something, he means what he says. And then when I start studying on the sevenfold spirits, God let me know I didn't have a choice. And people always, when I was in church, and I would say, I don't want no choice. They was like, well, you something wrong with you, because God gave us a choice. And I never heard it. When from Genesis to Revelation, God told Adam and Eve what to do. And I know Joshua said, as for me and my household, we would choose the Lord. But when God said, I'm going to set before you this day the blessing and the cursing, he said, choose ye the blessing. So when I got through with this book again, God revealed to me what he had told me, that everything that he has given us, he gave us the fear of the Lord. And that fear was the reverence everything and believe and honor and do everything that he said do, because he was the only one can allow our spirit to be in eternal damnation. And that's the way I got it, because, you know, back in the days when I grew up, we had fire and brimstone preachers. And I did want to be and that scared me. So when I was young, I was in, you know, in Sunday school at 5 years old, I knew. I used to have visions and dreams, and I never wanted to be in no fire. I always wanted to be with Jesus. And then this is why, and I'm learning this now after we finished those, that book, Searching Ourselves, and I'm breaking down these walls, destroying the hurt. God let me know that he still has me. But I had to totally forgive how people had hurt me in the past, and I ignored it. So now, you know, because God gives you, he strengthened us at such a time. And I say such a time as this because he's making me strong enough to go back and acknowledge that I was hurt, but I didn't, I guess I didn't care, because I went on and I did what I knew I could do with, you know, knowing that God is with you. You believe you can do anything, but yet I didn't repent, because he said when you got aught with somebody or if somebody offend you, I guess we supposed to let them know, because some people don't know when they offended you. So I was learning this more so, and then just knowing that we must obey, and whatever God tells us to do, obey God, and obeying him, that, like you said, that love, that reverence, that that trustworthiness, that truth that's on the inside, that always comes into obedience. And and he's an awesome guy. You just can't explain it when you go into meditation and you with God. You can't. It's just awesome. So I just thank God for you as well as his Holy Spirit and us coming together learning from each other, because we can't tell it all, but we can give him honor, glory, and reverence him for who he is. And I just love it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that insight and that testimony. Amen. I'm sure we can all relate to anybody else. Awesome. Awesome. I know one of the things when Pastor Roger was mentioning, we have to obey, and that's one of the areas that the author shares, that this fear of the Lord is what will help us to delight to obey. You know, it's one thing to obey, but to delight to obey, you know, to get excited about being obedient, to desire, what else you want me to do so I can do it, so I can obey. You know, to delight, because we delight in the one in whom we adore. We adore him. And so it is a joy, it is a delight to do that which is in his heart to do, or to be like what is in his heart to be. So for us to emulate him, if you will, in that the depth of love that we have for one another, so that we can forgive, so that we can, you know, be healed and whole from it. You know, some things we repress, that's the word from Wednesday, we repress because we're not equipped yet spiritually to do what needs to be done. But he is perfecting us. And so when we get to that place that he has equipped us and given us the instructions of how to use the weapons of our warfare, that then that area is then conquered, and we overcome, and we get the revelation, we get the understanding, and we get the knowledge of it, and then we get the strength to do it. all of these things are the gifts and the functions of the flow of the Spirit of God. He gives it to us in a measure that is beyond just bringing us to salvation, but a measure that's taken on the covenant promise of perfecting us to be like Christ. Okay? And you're sharing about, you know, fire and brimstone, and you don't hear much about hell. You don't hear preachers preach much about hell. But just like you say, when we were growing up, that was the baseline pretty much about every sermon they preached, okay, was going to hell. And I remember one that he titled it, The Snake in the Cup. I will never forget it. And just these illustrations that gave us a picture in our mind and in our understanding of the warfare against us and the two possible outcomes, if you will, as you say, choose you, you know, this day, because that illustration, you know, and I know that was over probably 60 years ago. I heard it maybe 50 years ago, but a long time ago. But I remember it just as clear, because it was releasing some truth about hell and about the warfare and about Satan and that snake in the cup, you know, and the fact that, you know, when the cup is full, you don't see what's at the bottom of it. It's like, oh, my God. It's all, but when you get through drinking and you look in that cup, and there that snake is, like, hello. It's like, oh, my God. But really, that's that fear of the Lord and knowing, you know, I have to fear him because that's the truth. And because of his holiness, that is what we must expect. He can't not be holy. So he has to judge sin. And we have to understand how, and we don't have to, but he wants us to understand just how he plans on doing it and how what he's put in place to keep us from having to go that way. So it's just such a love, such a deep abiding love that goes to places that we don't even know we have that need to be loved, and he loves those places too. So just such a marvelous God. Anybody else?
Amen. I over here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I was, you know, even in reading the fear of the Lord, and just the book in and of itself has really, really brought me to such a place of whenever I pick it up, it's just such an repentance. There's a repentance in me,
yeah.
You know, in reading and being coming to understand and to realize, you know, even as we get older and how the enemy will try to tell you, you know, that you've gotten older, you need to sit back, you need to let this person do, and then to find out that there is still a place of use in you, even as you get older
mm-hmm.
in the Lord, even as you get seasoned. And then just even on reading the previous chapter where he was in the presence of the Lord and how he was in such awe and in such love. And when he got up and he shared it with his wife of all those years, and he began to tell his wife how he loved her and
yeah.
He said, I love you. And how even in our seeking God, how the love in our relationship, come on, you're seeking the awe. He's seeking the awe and the presence of God. And there, even from that overflowing, it flowed over into his marriage.
Yeah.
And how, you know, these seven, it transpires and it touched so many aspects of his life and our lives. when we allow it, one of the things that God put me in a place of repentance is to not become content where I am, you know, not become content, not to feel like you know so much that you don't need to get into my presence. You know how somebody can say they read a book and you'd be like, oh, yeah, I read that book, you know what I'm saying? And you just say it as a matter of factly, you know, but it doesn't spur up anything into you in the remembrance of that, that we should always be in a place of, even though we've read it, to read it again so that it can stir up the inside of us, so that it can bring those rivers of living waters back over us. It can gush again. It can whoosh again, you know. And so, again, the chapter with the fear of the Lord, coming from a place of fear and trembling and being scared and being afraid, that my fear now turns into a reverence and an awe, that I don't do it because I don't want to go to hell. I do it now because I don't have to go to hell.
Because
I'm in such an odd place of him, just knowing, oh, my God.
Yes.
Knowing who he is. Oh, my God. And that longing for him, that now, you know, not even to do it to please people, you know, and again, all of these tentacles and all of these studies that we're doing, I don't do it to please people. I don't do it because of what I fear you may say. I do it because I'm in awe and in reverence to him and wanting to please him. And how just reading this book has transpired and taken me to a new place, you know, that I now, because of my love for him, I can't jump up and be so busy to move that I don't spend my alone time with him. That our relationship, even in your relationship with people, that your relationship with him is to wait, hold on, I need to touch base with him. You know, how we are with those that have children and grandchildren. You want to talk to your children. You want to, you know, you didn't come with me today. You didn't speak to me today. You know, those kinds of things. And so that the day can't end, you know, even throughout the day, you know, I just reflecting back on how many times we call our friends or how many times we touch base with our friends. How many times have you touched base with the master? Because of your fear of the Lord, not your fear and trembling, but your fear and your awesomeness and his awe in who he is. You know, touching bases with him, you know, throughout the day. When you're trying to make a major decision, you know, you don't call on your financial advisor or whatever, but you say, okay, because I'm in such awe with you guys, what do you think I need to do with this? Is this the right time to do this? Should I move that? You know, because of your awe, not the fear and trembling kind of a thing. That's the thing that you get to that place in him where you in such awe, you appreciate the dialogue with him. You appreciate, you know, what he has to say about your every move. And it makes all of the scriptures that you read before, it gives light to him. You know, the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord. But you know that those steps were ordered because that man had the wherewithal to get up, get in his presence, and say, okay, God, what are we doing today? You know, as you're walking and you get to that fork in the road, that your conversation has been so much with him, you don't choose to go to the left or right, but you beseech him because you're in such awe with him. Okay, God, which path would you have me to go down? And so, you know, those things, that intimacy with God, just reflecting back to Thirsty Thursday, where they were talking about your intimacy with God and, you know, knowing him. And so, again, this book has had me in a state of repentance since we picked it up. And it still has me in a place of repentance and knowing that there is a deeper depth. There is a deeper depth that I thought I was deep. And he said, no, it's deeper. That there is a deeper depth and knowledge of who he is and in awe of his splendor, his majesty, his sovereignty. There is a deeper depth. So I have so appreciated Brother Miller. And what he has opened up in me. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ditto.
Amen.
Ditto. Amen. Yes. Block talk.
Mm-hmm. I love you too.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes. We thank you all for just the sharing, the testimony, and the just the insight, the revelation, and just opening powerful paths in the journey and bringing illumination to them and bringing light to them and defining them. You know, in a way that we relate to that. Okay, yes, 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 that's true. Yes,
yes.
And it all points to just more evident of just the glory and the grace of God on our life. The awesome wonder that He is, and yet He is attentive to us. He loves. He pursues us. And He is committed to us, such a love depth that we cannot fathom. We cannot fathom. And when He gives us just a little glimpse of the iceberg or on the river, on top of the water, we can't imagine how deep it goes. And when He says the breadth and the depth and the width of God, it's like that is such a vast. Words can't describe Him. And yet He said, I am attentive to you. My eyes are on you who fear me. My commitment to my greatest blessing upon you who fear me. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's the height of the blessing He has promised to give to us. Then not just to us, to our generation. Yes, to our generation. He just kept giving love to us. How much more can I tell you of the joy in my heart? I promise you, I won't want that anything in this relationship that I am extending to you. There is an amazing love that is going to amaze you. It is going to amaze you because it is going to create in you. Okay? Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Yes. He said, I'm your banner. I got you covered. You know, the world knows and the enemy knows. I'm over you. I'm a fountain of life for you. I will help you avoid the snares of death. I'm your shield and your help. And I'll be a refuge to your children because of your fear of me. There is a wealth of treasure that I will release to you because you fear me. I will instruct you on which way to go and what to do because you fear me. I have mercy that is going to be upon every generation of yours because you fear me. Because you fear me and you wait for my loving kindness. You favor me and you wait for my loving kindness. You don't get ahead of me. You wait for my loving kindness. I will fulfill the desire. And I'll hear your cry, and I will save you. I will have angels encamp around you, and not just encamp around you, and rescue you. I'll keep you alive in famine. I'll deliver your soul from death. And on those who hope in my loving kindness, my eyes is on them. My eyes see you. I have riches and honor for you.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He will prolong
yes.
our life.
Yes.
So these powerful covenant scriptures that he's given to us, and I encourage you to, because you can just Google it, promises for those who fear the Lord. He has so much that he is promising us. And we need to know what it is, because it becomes the thing we cherish and we treasure. And that's what why being obedient becomes a delight. I delight
yes.
in the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He is the jewels of our life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we got a few
amen.
More chapters, and we will savor each word of each chapter and pray that as we go forth, our hearts will be opened for this truth to take deep root. You know, as Apostle said, and bring us to a place of repentance and turning from an old way, never to go back that way again,
yes.
never to take God for granted again, never to
yes.
downplay what he does again, never to miss out on conversation with him every day, never to miss
oh.
out on time spent in intimate love and prayer to him every day, to include him in our agenda, if you will, Brother Dave, and thanking him that we got an agenda and that we got a day. Hallelujah, because he is the author of it all. So we just praise and thank and worship him. Appreciate you. Love you. Enjoy, embrace, and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Have a blessed day, everyone.
God bless
amen.
Everyone.
God bless,
well.
Bless everyone.
Hallelujah.
God bless.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you.